Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
And we are rolling. Welcome to the program, you guys, and thank you for joining us. This is an earful in the Emerald City, and you're listening right now. We got a very, very special show planned for you guys today. And I know I say that a lot, and the truth is, I've lied to you guys a few times.
You bullshitter.
I'm not proud of myself, okay? But please, trust me when I say we have a hell of a show for you guys planned today. This is going to be our special playoff preview show.
Did you say playoffs?
Playoffs? Are you kidding
playoffs?
Me? Playoffs? No, this is our 12th episode, guys, okay? And please don't think that's a coincidence, all right? Because it's not. We're talking to you, Hawks fans out there. We're going to get deep inside the Hawks later on in the show. I'm talking deep too. I'm talking like inside Pete Carroll's khakis deep. All right. We're going to be all in this shit. So that's coming on later for you guys in the show. But for all the ladies who are pretending, gay guys, whoever else really isn't into football, I get it, you guys. I get it. It's a little ridiculous. We get a little crazy with the fantasy football, the tailgating. It's a little nutty, but I don't want to waste you guys' time. This probably isn't the show for you. So feel free to tune out now. But for all of you true red-blooded Americans who truly love football, this is you guys got an hour of awesomeness coming up here, all right? So stick around with us. And we actually also have another surprise for you right now. In studio with us is our first guest ever on the program, and a great guest at that. You might know him from 710 ESPN Radio Seattle. He's basically a local celebrity.
Yeah.
He's also a former QB, so he knows the game like the back of his hand. He was a starter for really the first great Bothell football team, the first of many to come, I might add. They're still getting it done over there. And he got it done at the collegiate level, too, at Western Washington University. Please welcome to the show my good friend and football guru, Mr. Tony Gardner. Tony, thank you for joining us.
That was maybe the greatest intro I've ever received from anybody in my entire freaking life, my man.
Well, I had to ham it up for you a little bit, but no. Good for you to be here, man. Like I said, you're the guru. You're the guy who I know he knows more about football than anybody else. So we wanted the expert here. I mean, we're going deep on this one, so we're doing it. Shoddy, he's obviously joining us over here.
What's up, everyone? How's it going? Big guy? Yeah, I mean, I thought Slim forgot about my black ass here. He's over here kissing his buddy's ass. And I'm just
blushing
like,
over here. I'm blushing over here.
Well, I can't blush, so.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm still here, but we're happy to have you. I'm very excited about this episode. Go Hawks. We're going to get in depth about the playoffs, talk about the Seahawks strengths, weaknesses, and what we need to do to beat the Vikings in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's going to be -6 degrees, possibly, with wind chill.
God. Yeah, playing outside out there, that's fucking nutty. Yeah, like I said, we'll get to that later on in the show, you guys. Don't you worry. Just hang around here. But, quite the playoffs we got set up here. It's – let me ask you, Tony, how does the NFL do it? After the year that they've had – after all the scandals, all the controversy, the Ray Rice incident, which in my opinion was fucking shameful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the NFL's handling of that was just shameful. They suspended for 2 games, which is basically nothing. And then as soon as the video breaks, we changed our mind. Now you can't play until we tell you you can.
Yeah.
I mean, how wrong were you here? You couldn't have been more wrong either side. It's insane. You got the whole pink campaign. You know, they're everybody's wearing fucking pink now. Pink helmets, pink jerseys. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think these guys like doing that?
Concussion the movie coming out right now.
Exactly. The controversy. I mean, all this. It was just. I was completely ready to say fuck it. You know, if the Seahawks weren't playing good, I probably would have. I probably would have said fuck it. This is bullshit. I don't even care anymore. And here we are, and the playoffs are coming. Seahawks are coming in as a wild card. Yeah. And I think I'm more excited than I've ever been. I mean, how did they do this?
It's crazy. I mean, I think the line. I haven't seen the movie yet. Concussion. I heard it was a safe movie, and I heard Will Smith did a great job. But the crazy thing is that the line in that movie says, and I heard him, it says, you know, religion, church used to own Sundays, and now NFL owns Sundays. And I think the reality of that is, it's the ultimate reality TV show. As you guys know, reality TV is like the biggest thing since Survivor, and cheap, easy to make on TV. But, you know, you can DVR, you can record those, but there's something about that live event, live football. And I know baseball used to be America's pastime, but that game's a little too slow. People want action. And I guess the only way I can attribute it is, you know, back in Rome, you know, when they had the big fights back in those days, I mean, people like violence. It's the way the world is, especially we talking before the show, crazy 2015 is a year in which we're living right now, but it's the ultimate reality TV, and it's you know, even with all this all this news story surrounding it, it's just getting more and more popular.
That's interesting, actually. It really is. It's a reality TV, you know, and it's actually one that, you know, or at least we think, is not that scripted. What do you think? I mean, how are these guys still killing it, Shoddy? I mean, they can't seem to do anything wrong. How do they do it?
They're fucking nuts. They're all fucking nuts. Man, I mean, I used to play it, and I know that you used to play it. It's just that adrenaline rush, man. But unlike Sundays, we used to play on Friday nights, man. And coming from Texas, where it is a fucking religion, and the high school football stadiums look like Joel Osteen's fucking big ass churches. I'm serious. There is a high school football stadium in Allen, Texas that fits 50,000 people.
Is that, wait, are they five or is it 6 or 7A?
It's up to 6A now.
6A. And Coppell, what?
Yeah, Coppell High School has an indoor football practice facility.
Wow.
Jesus. And you're spending big bucks there too. That shit's that's no joke.
Yeah. All the money goes to football and none to education. That's why they send all the boys to the military or to the fucking oil field out there. But anyway, no, I mean, it's just that adrenaline rush. You know, when you hear your fight song go out and, you know, you're running through the paper and you're getting pumped up. You know, it's just that adrenaline. And one thing our coaches did was on game day, we would go into the meeting room, and he would show us a clip of a movie, and it would be like he would show us a clip from Braveheart. During the war, the battle scene, the movie Patton, he showed us the opening speech. We saw Remember the Titans when he was making the undefeated speech, because we went undefeated our senior year up until we played Westlake and got upset by Nick Foles and his whiny little white friends from Westlake. But
somebody's a little bitter.
Yeah. Nick Foles talked about my mama once.
Oh, man. He seems like a nice guy, real.
No, fuck that. Fuck Nick Foles, man. Fuck Nick Foles. And Nick Foles, if you're listening to this, you know who the fuck I am. This is Rashad O'Neal from Kyle fucking Texas, motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
No, man, how do they do it, man? I mean, they got to put food on the table.
Oh, if it makes you happy, he might end the year on a team that might not even be in St. Louis anymore. Not starter anymore.
Yeah, Rashad's definitely getting the last laugh.
Yeah. I'm doing a podcast that I don't get paid for.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
Yeah. No, we got tons.
You're getting
of
paid.
Guys.
What are you talking about?
No, I want to go back to what you were saying though, Tony, about you brought up the Greek and the Roman times, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, the gladiators and stuff.
Yeah.
And I really think it is. I think the pussification that's going on in this country right now, yeah. I think the...
Wait, was that pussification?
I think it's a word. I think it's a word. I didn't look it up before the show.
Urban Dictionary? No.
No, that's definitely on there.
It's a word.
He definitely said... Pussification.
Let's make sure we're on the same page.
But no, there is. I mean, come on, you guys know what's going on. I mean, guys are fucking have to be all sensitive. Everybody's all sensitive. Which, you know what, I'm not completely against it. Okay, it's got some good and some bad. But I think that the recent growth in MMA and in football, you know, with this explosion of popularity that they've had, I think that is a direct backlash to the pussification of this country. You know, it's like we need something, that outlet. And I think UFC is growing bigger than anything right now. I mean, they're fucking killing it. I mean, Ronda Rousey and everybody going. And I, again, yeah, like you said, it's something that we're not used to anymore, and that's why we yearn for it. And
look at Beast Mode. Obviously, we're going to be talking about Beast Mode. He went down specifically to San Francisco and trained with – it wasn't an MMA coach. This guy that he trains with, this guy that's known Marshawn for years and years. But that guy who trains him down in San Francisco specifically trains on the MMA side of things.
Really?
And so you can make that translation. You can tie those in together, but it just blows my mind. And like you said, it shows you in this day and age that violence is toward the top of the food chain.
It sells violence and sex. That's wow. I didn't know that, man. That's interesting. It looks like he is in a fucking dogfight though, right, when he's out there sometimes pushing off people, slamming into people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's actually pretty smart, you know, and it's probably good for your footwork and whatnot too, and keeping your balance.
Well, once again, going back, it shows the unconventionality of the Seahawks, of Pete letting him, no other head coach in the NFL would let one of their star running backs train offsite, not to mention in a different fucking state.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And that's so he'd been gone for 6 weeks.
In the arch nemesis city. Out of all places.
That kind of adds a little flavor to it, though.
St. Clair.
Yeah. San Fran.
Santa
Clara.
It's all Google money, right? Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, wow, that's good to know. Yeah, I think for me, I think this year, that's what's really getting me is the teams that are in. Everybody. Like, there's not one single team that I have any negative feelings for, really. You know, you got no Cowboys, you got no Eagles, you know, the Niners, all these teams that I can't stand, that kind of get you pissed off, make you angry. None of them are in, you know, everybody I'm seeing. I mean, you got the Broncos and they got the top seed in the AFC. Okay. Peyton's back. In my team, in my opinion, this is the scariest team for us, as far as a direct matchup, their team against ours. Mm-hmm. I just feel like if somehow we ended up facing them, that those motherfuckers would have a chip on their shoulder the size of a goddamn Cool Ranch Dorito. All right? And I just think that, you know, that would just be a tough situation for us. Yeah. You got the AFC North. You got two teams coming out of there. And I know everybody hates the fucking Steelers. Okay, man, I realize where I'm at.
Oh my God,
but that's my team. Fuck you guys. All right.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Their quarterback runs like a fucking rapist.
Wait, Bert, how long have the Steelers been your team?
It was one of those things, man. One of those things I can't describe.
Before
it.
Super Bowl, before 2005?
Oh, way before. As a kid.
You're safe.
As a kid. I can't explain why. I remember seeing, me and him talk about this. I remember seeing them play the Cowboys in 97 for the Super Bowl, and that was when I really started to love that team. And so that was way back, you know. Yeah. And whatever, the Super Bowl is a Super Bowl, but I love seeing them. I love seeing another team from that division, too. I love and the fact that they have to play each other and duke it out, because I feel like those motherfuckers just all hate each other, you know. And you got the Ravens in there, too. It's just fun to watch those guys duke it out. Mm-hmm. Get the Patriots. I mean, come on, defending champions. Okay, what are you going to say there? There's nothing to say.
You don't hate the Patriots?
I respect them. I don't like them.
You respect cheaters.
You know, they cheated on some things. Some things they got a bad rap for. You know, the Deflategate. Come on. So if the balls were properly inflated, what, they would have only beat the Colts by 4 touchdowns then? I mean, they got their asses handed to them. Okay, what the fuck are you guys bitching about?
I one thing, I Tom Brady's a man. I mean, I know he gets a lot of flack and everything, but I'm a fan. The more I've gotten into him, Bill Belichick is. I know he's got a lot of haters and everything. That guy doesn't give a fuck,
dude.
He hates authority. I read one thing too. He wears his hoodies and his cutoff sweatshirts on the sideline because he does that for the sole fact that the NFL tells coaches what to wear. He doesn't want to conform. He's done his own thing. Obviously, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
I heard though on the flip side, off the field, he's a completely different person. what you see, that grumpy ass old man you see behind the mic, you know, on press conferences and everything, not the same guy you see off the field. So it's kind of interesting, but I don't hate the Patriots as much as everyone else does.
I mean, you have to respect him, man. You have to respect him as much as it was a heartbreaking loss last year. You have to respect him, and you know, you got the Chiefs too, which they're hotter than anything. They're in fuego at the moment. All right, they can beat anybody. I mean, the wild card teams all look reasonable, and everybody in the NFC, I feel like everybody is vulnerable. You know, the Panthers had a great year, 15-1. I mean, that is an outstanding year. You can't say it's not. I still feel like they haven't proven themselves.
They had a weak schedule. I thought they had a weak schedule.
Exactly. And they still haven't proven themselves.
Playing professionals, and on any given Sunday, anything could happen. Okay? Am I a Panthers fan? No, but I respect what they accomplish. Okay? It doesn't matter about their schedule. This is not college football. This is the NFL. These are professionals who had to claw their way to get here, okay?
I will say this. They do have – their coach has the single-handedly, I think, best nickname in the NFL with Coach Riverboat Ron. That nickname, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm a gambler myself.
Oh, that's because you're a gambling fool for sure.
Riverboat Ron Rivera, I like him as head coach. He's paid his dues, and obviously he has no shying away from going for it if he needs to.
Yeah, he's definitely got some guts, and yeah, he put in some rough seasons. They had some tough seasons. Luckily, got a chance. I mean, you look at fucking Chip Kelly. Like, could the Eagles give him a bigger fuck you? Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
It's crazy.
Don't even let him finish the season out. He's got one more game. What has this been, his third year? Yeah. You know, and they almost got in. Yeah, they shit the bed last year. They started 9-2, and they did shit the bed. But holy shit, one more fucking game. No, we don't want you on the sideline, you piece of shit. Get the fuck out of here, okay? And we'll pay you more.
Interesting story on that, though. I heard one. This is how weird is this. I heard the final straw that broke the camel's back on that one was apparently Chip Kelly, the owner. I forget, blanking on the owner's name right now, but he usually holds. Like, I guess he goes all out for this Christmas party for the Eagles every year. It's held on a Monday every year. I guess Chip said, no. That Monday, we need to move it to a Tuesday or Wednesday. That's my prep day. So they moved this whole fucking Christmas party because of Chip. And apparently that set off. That was like the final straw. It's rumors what I heard it.
Wow.
He's gone.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's a relationship thing. That's what people don't get. I mean, he was so systematic in the way his system's placed, the guys he wants. But in reality, it's showing this day and age. You see Jim Irsay, you know, getting his job Chuck Pagano getting his job back from Jim Irsay. They had a good relationship. They didn't want to let that dissolve. It's all about relationships, kind of like anything in life.
Wow. Yeah, that it definitely is. And I can see that, you know, but it's just like, fuck, man, one more game. I feel like no other city would do that, you know. Yeah. I don't think San Francisco kind of did. What the fuck? I can't even think of his name now. Yeah. Luckily,
Colin Kaepernick.
No,
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
Jim.
Thank
yeah,
you.
He had I the tried last to block laugh his name over there. Out. Yeah,
but yeah, they kind of did.
That was dumb.
Terrible.
That was dumb.
Jed York is the worst owner in the NFL. I mean, that guy, he has not a clue what he's doing over there. Not a clue.
Well, keep him employed, guys. Keep him employed because we sure appreciate it. So, but let's start getting to some of the matchups here, the actual games, what we're looking at here, some roads to potentially get into the Super Bowl. First off, I want to talk some Vegas odds because, like you said, Tony, we're gambling men. I mean, we can't stray away from this, right?
Once it's in our blood. Become legal in this country.
It's in our blood. We'll get some action going after the podcast is done. You know, get some cards in the air.
Yep.
But so here's the numbers, and I want to get you guys' take on these. What you thought?
Yeah, sure.
Here's the numbers as far as odds go to go all the way to win the Super Bowl right now. You got the three teams tied for the lead, which are the Cards, the Pats, and the Panthers. And all of them are at 9-2 right now. You got Denver and the Hawks that are tied, and they're both getting 5-1 at the moment. You got Pittsburgh at 8-1. You got the Bengals at 20-1. The Chiefs, the white hot Chiefs, are coming in at 25-1. The Packers are 30-1. The Vikes also 30-1. The Redskins 40-1. And the Texans coming up in the rear with a long shot of 60-1. Now, what do you guys think about that? I mean, first off, I just want to say, Look at that. You got two of the wildcard teams in the top half of that. I mean, mm-hmm. basically they're saying that the whole middle of the field is not going to do anything, which yep. maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. Who's a good pick there with those kind of numbers? What do you guys think?
Gosh, you know, I know that we were just talking before the show that these odds makers and how good they are, and they must know stuff that we don't. But, I mean, given the fact the last couple of years the Seahawks have made the Super Bowl, I think it obviously helps to have that first round bye, have those home games, and we were able to take advantage of that last year. So I think it's safe to say you've got those guys where they're at. But also, I know with Steelers and Seahawks this year, a lot of odds makers, a lot of people love them. They're the teams nobody wants to see in the playoffs this yeah. year. A lot of them are getting compared to the 2011 Giants, 2013 Packers. You know, when those guys were years a little prior to that, when those guys made their Super Bowl runs coming in as wild cards. So
yeah.
I think those odds are pretty good. I know Houston had a weak schedule as well this year. So I think there's I kind of agree with all that. I know yeah. Kansas City, though, only Kansas City. They're the one team nobody's talking about it. I mean, if you've won 10 straight, it's tough to argue.
Man, let me tell you about Kansas City. No one talks about Kansas City because of their quarterback, Alex Smith. Alex Smith is their fucking quarterback. But he's a game manager. You know, he's not Russell Wilson. He's not Tom Brady. He's not a Peyton Manning. He's just there to make the right plays and not fuck up. Yeah, and not fuck up. Make the least mistakes. You know who I'm most impressed with on that team? The head coach, Andy Reid. Let me tell you
about Andy Reid. I love that guy.
Andy Reid. And no one talks about this. Andy Reid knows running backs. He does. When he's at Philly, Deuce Staley, Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy. Here, Jamal Charles goes out. We think their running game is fucked. In comes Sir Kendrick West, Spencer Ware.
Yep.
Like no one talks about like how good how well he knows running backs. Who the fuck was Charkandrick West before Jamal Charles went down?
Yeah.
Like seriously, and Jeremy Maclin, man, I had him on a fantasy team this year, and that guy blew the fuck up. I think he had a better season than he did in Philly.
What blew my mind last year about the Chiefs was Alex Smith. I know he gets doted as a big-time game manager, but that guy, I couldn't believe he didn't throw one single touchdown pass to a wide receiver last year. It was to tight ends or running backs, and that was it. And so that showed you that's a team, and obviously this year they lean heavily on that defense, a great, great defense that they have. But I'm going to give him this year just a notch up above a game manager. I think what he's been doing with his legs, he's been getting a lot of first downs and carrying that rock when a lot of people don't see the speed in him. So that's one thing that's helped him. He's thrown some more touchdowns this year. That helps him too. But, yeah, I'm with you. I know he's had the game manager, you know, label on him for quite some time. But I think he's improving that. But I'm with you. I'm a big Andy Reid fan.
Well, I mean, you got to respect the guy. He comes in and just immediately turns things around.
Yep.
And yeah, as far as these odds go, if I'm just looking to make money, I think I am going to go with the Chiefs at 25-1. I mean, do they have a tough road to get there? Yeah, obviously. But you look at the Broncos and you look at the Patriots, the top teams in the AFC, mm-hmm. they have some issues. You know, I mean, they can win. They've proven that they're elite teams and they're going to be tough to beat, but they do have some issues. I mean, to say that they're not in a situation that puts them a little vulnerable is being mm-hmm. a little naive. So I think that is probably your best odds as money. I think I'd like to do a big Hawks bet and then a little Chiefs bet, you know, for that little upside potential there. But
yeah,
I don't know. What do you guys think? No one's giving the Texans any credit. I mean, is there no chance these guys do it? Is there no 60-1? Is there zero? They're basically saying there's no chance.
Just like the Redskins, weak division.
Hey, amen to that. No, absolute that weak is division. True. That and is it's very an interesting true. Fact too. I know that they said what's going to be interesting about this weekend. It's the first time in the history that you've got four quarterbacks. The four home quarterbacks are all starting their first playoff game. So that's kind of interesting. I know Brian Hoyer, he's been a respectable backup, and he's done all right. He's done all right for Houston this year.
He's got DeAndre Hopkins, the fucking bell him out, man. You got to admit that.
That guy is so smooth, man. I love DeAndre Hopkins. Man, I know, he does. You're right. And J.J. Watt having another huge year, playing out of his freaking mind. That defense is going to be there. But I know the last couple of years, I think this is Houston's third third playoff run or postseason game here in the last like 3, 4, 5 years, and kind of been the same deal. They get in there, you know, they it's a very weak division. I know what you're saying, and so that's a big same with the Redskins.
Yeah.
But you never know what can happen.
That is a very good point. I just kind of feel like. And he probably is a little overhyped than he deserves, but he is an outstanding player. I just think J.J. Watt is one of those guys that can potentially change the game for you. You know, he can get in there, get a sack, force a fumble, and get a turnover or two in a game and change the course of the game. I mean, that's not easy to do when you're on the defensive side of the ball as much, but I feel if anybody, he's that guy that can do it for them. So
he can literally play every position, I heard. They said if they needed to, he could play go in and play quarterback.
The guy's just a fucking freak,
it's
man.
Insane. No, I know.
Genetic freak.
I mean, we'll and you know,
he doesn't touch any booze or anything. He said his body is a temple. He goes to bed. I heard he sleeps like 14, 15 hours a night.
Really?
And yeah, I heard he has got this regimen. He said, once I'm retired, I'll go out and have my first beer. But if I read that correctly, yeah, his body is a fucking temple, which is crazy. But obviously it shows freaking good the guy is. I mean, the guy's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, dude, he's just a fucking murderer, man. So I love to watch him. And again, I'm glad he's in. You know, I mean, they're the team. Yeah, no one's giving me any credit, and hey, they probably don't fucking deserve it. But mm-hmm. At least he's in there. He'll be able to watch, see if maybe he can make some plays and do some big things. So let me ask you guys, who else do you think are some really key players? You know, who needs to play good for their team to have success? Let's talk some quarterbacks first. You know, we'll get the big guys.
Kirk Cousins from the Washington Redskins. Mister, you like that?
That motherfucker was fired up after that last win of theirs. Holy shit. Might have been 2 weeks ago, but God, he's hitting everybody in the tunnel on the way in. But you got to like that, though.
He's got good targets. Jordan Reed, good. God almighty, that kid broke out this season, and he's got DeSean Jackson. He's still producing, and you know he's got Alfred Morris, and hopefully Matt Jones will return healthy. And I know that the Packers have been struggling when they have to deal with two or more running backs in the backfield. They struggled with Todd Gurley and Tavon Austin this past Sunday. Jarrett McKinnon and Adrian Peterson. So, and I've been telling everyone since the Vikings beat them, I'm calling the upset Skins over Packers, and it's going to be in DC.
Skins over God, I would love to see that, man. I would love to see that, just because that takes away the chance of us having to play in Lambeau.
Are we going to see RG3 in that game?
What?
Oh, RG3?
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
You gave me a look. Who are you fucking talking about?
What the fuck?
No, it's I know, Berg, it's tough to bring it back to your point. I hate to be biased as an ex-quarterback, but it's all about the quarterback play. I mean, that's, as you guys know, the most important position in sports. And yeah, obviously, if you're looking, Aaron Rodgers had a down year statistically all across the board. I know he had a lot of injuries on that O-line. Without that Hail Mary there against Detroit, I mean, they could have been on a huge skid. Don't even make the playoffs.
That's true. That's true.
It's interesting to see, but you never can, in come playoff time, my favorite quote ever, cream always rises to the top. You know, big-time players make big-time plays and big-time games, and you got to think it's tough for me to count out Aaron Rodgers, what the guy's done in his career. But I know right now, obviously, the trend is going to Washington. I think it's gonna be a great game. That might be the better game of the weekend out of the four. You know, crazily enough, I know that might be the most exciting one, but in terms of coming down to the wire, that's what my feeling, that game's gonna come down to the final drive.
Yeah, I mean, God, what is up with the Packers, man? They just fucking, the second half of the season, they just lost it.
Their defense fell off, and I think they're finally missing Jordy Nelson as that deep threat, because Aaron Rodgers is a deep ball thrower. He does not have Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, no, that's been huge, and we talked about his O-line. I'd heard rumors too earlier in the year, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, that he had some shoulder issues. I don't know if it was off a hit or whatnot. So I think it's just a bunch of contributing factors. I also know, too, Mike McCarthy went back to calling plays as the whole coordinator. The final, like, I think it was week 13 or 14, he took over the duties when he gave those duties up specifically from his play calling a year ago in the NFC Championship game. So definitely can tell you're right. They're probably second-guessing themselves. I work with a diehard Packer fan. She's from Wisconsin, and she does not like their chances this weekend.
I'm telling you, man.
She does not like their chances, and she is, as Aaron Rodgers as it gets, and she just says, this team, I have no clue what's going on with this team. You can kind of see it, but I mean, playoff time, it's a brand new season. You've really got to flip the script, and you're starting 0-0. So it's tough to feel like you want to follow these trends that have been happening toward the end of the season, but it is an absolute brand new season.
When it comes to momentum, the Packers have like negative 20. I mean, it's but yeah, like you said, who knows? You just all you got to do is string a couple of wins together, you know, and anybody has the capability to do that. You look at the Giants, they did it twice. I believe both times they were a wild card when they did it. And they got hot right at the perfect time. And when they were clicking, they were clicking, and no one could beat them. Even the Patriots, maybe the fucking football gods were on their side. I think they were when the guy's catching the goddamn ball against his helmet. You know, but whatever it is, it's anybody can do it.
See, Berg, here's the thing, though. The we're talking about it right now. We've been talking about it this whole time pretty much, is the NFL has done exactly what they set out to accomplish each year. This is a industry that, with salary cap and everything, as you can see, we win a couple, win a Super Bowl, go to another Super Bowl, you're going to lose some guys. And that's just how the NFL works. If they could have it their way, they'd have every team be 8-8, so everybody's invested for a playoff run. And they got pretty damn close this year, which is crazy, minus a couple outliers.
Yeah, that is true, actually. Yeah, if they had their pick, they'd probably want everybody in it till the very last game. So... yeah, and there wasn't that many. There was the Titans, a few other teams that were really down there. I mean, you got the whole AFC East that was, you know, that just terrible division. So is it the East with the that the Redskins won?
NFC East.
Knows how much he
so you know, and you got, sports. Well, and you got the AFC. Is it the South with the
Colts, the Texans one? Jaguars. Yeah.
Two garbage divisions.
Titans. I mean, both those divisions wide open the entire year. You know, you could have started 2-8, and you know, you weren't technically eliminated yet till the second to last week. So,
well, let me ask you guys a question, because I know a lot of people talk about, would you guys rather see a rule? I mean, I know we got a ton of fucking rule changes in the NFL year to year. It's too much. That's why we see such poor officiating with all these rule implementations every single year. But my question is, would you guys want it? I know there's a lot of people that complain, some of these division winners that go in and host a playoff game with a worse record than the team coming in. Do you guys not like that, or do you guys think that should be changed?
Ooh, man.
I'm on the fence with this one, too. That's why I was curious.
There's no clear-cut answer. There's no clear-cut. I mean, if there was, they would have probably solved that issue. I think it kind of depends on where everybody's at, you know? I think if, like the year we were 7-9.
The Beast Quake in. Run?
Oh, yeah, yes. Exactly. One of the most memorable 7-9, plays.
7-9, baby. And hosting a playoff. Hosting the defending Super Bowl champs. Yeah,
exactly. Defending champs who upset the Colts.
Yep.
So, you know, from that perspective, I see letting those home teams have. But at the same time, you're coming in at 7-9 and somebody snuck in a wild card at 11-5.
Yeah.
I mean, or maybe even 12-4, maybe if they tied somebody else in the division and they didn't have the tiebreaker. I mean, fuck, you're going to get a. You're going to get a home playoff game. Yeah. So I think it's just too close. I think you just kind of leave it the way it is now, because it's not clear enough that it's going to be better if you change it. And like you said, there has been a lot of new implementations, and it's kind of like, you know, and every time it almost takes a little bit of their credibility away, you know, especially if they overdo it.
Yeah.
So I say you probably just leave it as it is now.
That's what I lean towards too. But yeah, it's just interesting, especially when you get to this time of year.
Yeah. But again, you know, you got to get on. All it is you got to get on a run. I mean, the Hawks, they got to win 3 road games. I feel like this has been a good road season for them. I feel like we've done pretty well on the road, to be honest.
Yep.
And the places that we might have to go, besides maybe Green Bay, I'm not that worried about. I'm not terrified of being there. We just fucking smashed the Cardinals at home.
Yep.
You know, Carolina, whatever. I have no worries about us not being able to play there.
I was hoping so damn bad that they'd stay undefeated and we get to see them up at the second round, but dice.
Get him again 2 years in a row. That would have been nice. So. But yeah, no, it's going to be a good year. So okay, so what about Bengals and the Patriots, or the Steelers? Excuse me. What do you guys think on this one?
Steelers will smoke them, because everyone knows that the real Bengals,
the Bengals at home,
the real Bengals come out when playoffs happen.
The Bungles,
the Bungles.
God,
since 2011, no playoff win since they've gone to 11, 12, 13, 14, 4 straight playoffs appearances since 2011, and not one victory.
they're going to be feeling a lot of pressure. No, Marvin Lewis, I like him. He's another coach. I like him a lot, too, and he's had a rough go with these playoff losses year in and year out. No Andy Dalton this year. I know everyone thought this was going to year, you know, for the Bengals to get over the hump. Andy Dalton hurts that thumb. I don't think he's playing. Yeah. You're going with A.J. McCarron.
A.J. McCarron will hurt his fine-ass girlfriend who'll be in the stands.
I think of his girlfriend. Is it Catherine, whatever her name is? Yes. Catherine something. I think of her when Brett Musburger gave her the greatest praise of all time on that national championship game a few years back. But yeah, it's one thing. He's not short on any confidence. He hasn't looked great. I know he's still in the last couple games. He's been under 200 yards, and that offense needs to be clicking for them to have a chance. But I think once again, you got a divisional game. That's gonna be definitely good. But for whatever reason, I've been going around my office telling everyone the two sexiest AFC picks aren't going to make the Super Bowl: Patriots and Steelers. I don't know why. That's just me going, just talking. Just because those are the two sexiest picks. Everyone, those two guys will not make the Super Bowl. I won't, unless we're doing predictions here later on this show. Maybe I'll give them. I don't know how. That's just my gut.
My Super Bowl prediction is a Super Bowl rematch from 10 years ago. Seahawks and Steelers.
I would take that. I've heard a lot of people saying that, and I would take that in a heartbeat. That would
Patriots have been exposed. Broncos can be beat easily.
Yeah,
Broncos can be beat easily. Steelers, they have on paper, they have the most dangerous offense in the league.
The AFC is just completely wide open, it feels like.
It is.
It feels like there is nobody that you're saying, oh, this team is for sure at least going to get to the conference championship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wide open. And again, this is why I'm excited.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a shot. We're talking about the Steelers and the Chiefs, the two wildcard teams, and they're both looking as good as anybody else. And they're actually getting credit. People are talking about them. I mean, it's completely wide open besides the Texans.
Yep. Well, I'm pretty sure too. I heard a story too. I believe the Steelers sent a bunch, like 500 sandwiches from some famous Pittsburgh sandwich shop over to Buffalo's facility, thanking the Bills for beating the Jets this weekend to get them into the playoffs. So you gotta like that. But yeah, Berg, like we talked about, this is close to that NFL dream, that parody of being split right down the middle. I mean, if they could have every fucking team make the playoffs, I'm sure they would. Obviously, they want expansion and you know, in the playoffs, that ain't going to happen right now. But this is right there with it. So you've got everybody invested. Everybody's buying products. I mean, this is exactly what the NFL wants.
So we talked. You think Redskins over Packers. I hope you're right on that. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, if the offense for Green Bay shows up, I think that's going to be a big part of it. But again, another good game to watch. You know, maybe the little bit weaker teams, but at least a good even match.
And I'll give Packers the edge in that game just with their playoff. I think it's going to be a good game, like I told you, but I'm going to give them the edge just with their playoff experience.
That's true. That's true. This is kind of an unknown situation for the Skins here. Yep. So
I got the Skins by 10.
Hey, again, I'm
Green Bay by 3.
I'm hoping to call you right. I don't want us to potentially have to play in Green Bay.
And I know that sounds ridiculous because it's the Redskins, but I'm telling you.
And I'm pulling for Kirk Cousins. I like Kirk.
I'm telling you, man. The Packers rush defense have struggled against running backs who have rushed for over 1,000 yards a season. Alfred Morris, people don't understand. He's still got it.
Did he have 1,000 yards this year?
Yes, he did.
He did?
And I don't know what's been up with Clay Matthews, too, but he'd been off the last few weeks. I heard last week he got his first tackle in like 4 games. That just shows you just how much Green Bay in four games.
How he made Pro Bowl this season.
Exactly, right? Don't even get me started on the Pro Bowl. I mean, those guys. Marshawn Lynch made the Pro Bowl this year and, you know.
Really?
Played like 4 games, yeah.
I don't know.
I know what you mean. And no, either way, that's going to be a great game. It's crazy, too, because Kirk Cousins, I heard his numbers, his last like 3-4 weeks, have been rivaling Russell Wilson's numbers, and not too many people are talking about it. I know his knock this year was, and I know I'd heard too that Washington, with you know, obviously in the NFC East, are not the best, strongest schedule. But
he
apparently had been doing well and torching a bunch of bad defenses this year for most of their wins. And all of Washington losses had been playing a top 15 or better defense and hadn't gotten the job done. We'll see.
A stat correction. Alfred Moore actually ran for only 751 yards this season.
Okay.
Mainly because he had to split touches with Matt Jones a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I like his celebration, by the way. I like his little baseball bat celebration. Oh, he done that as much as
knocks
you, but
that shit out of the park.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Fucking A. So okay, so that's those games. You guys think what's the consensus here? Texans, Chiefs. Is everybody going Chiefs?
I'm going Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going Chiefs.
God, I mean, again, yeah, I'd like to see
it'll be a
something
low scoring
happen.
Game. Yeah, that'll be a low scoring game. Two good defenses there, but I just once again, if I got to put my money on Kansas City right now, and nobody's talking about them. Nobody, yeah. You know, 10 in a row. That's hard to do in the NFL. Very hard to do.
Well, and to close the season too. I mean, that's when you need it the most. You know,
I have a question. What Super Bowl matchup do you think is the least likely to happen?
Well, we just said it. What did we say? Houston. We'll go Houston, Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Chiefs.
Let's see. Watch if that's happening this year.
Chiefs, Redskins.
Chiefs, Redskins.
And Roger Goodell would have a big face palm because neither of those teams are marketable. No,
true.
Yeah, no, neither of those teams are marketable.
He definitely
and
would be happy,
and Roger Goodell would shoot himself.
What would you say most desirable matchup? Do people most want the rematch from last year? Do you want that?
No, I think the most markable matchup would be Hawks and Steelers.
Hawks Steelers. See, that's I like that one too a lot. I know I just think it's too good to be true. Like I want it.
And we
everybody's saying that the two hottest teams.
We got a bone
to
pick with them from a decade ago.
I picked it a little bit a few weeks ago, just a little bit. But you're right. No.
Yeah, but we need to hit them when it matters.
I know.
that would be impressive just to have two wild card teams facing off. I don't know if that's ever happened. I'm going to say it probably hasn't.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I'm sure.
Did the Hawks take the West back in the 2005 season?
They did.
So I'm gonna Chiefs. I mean, the most unlikely matchup, obviously, whatever. But I think at this point, I mean, call me biased. Obviously, we're in Seattle here, but I have a feeling we're gonna see a rematch from Super Bowl 48. I think that might be the one. I think this is Peyton knows this is his last shot.
Yeah.
And you know, they got just enough to make it happen. They got that first round bye. I think that's pretty likely. And again, as I was saying earlier, the Broncos are the scariest team, in my opinion, for us to have to play. If we do, obviously, it would be both of us getting to the Super Bowl if it did happen. But I just look at us matching up with everybody. Chiefs, I don't really know what to think of that them against us. But that's my prediction. I just feel
Is Brock starting that game for Denver, or do you think Peyton will?
I think Peyton is going to slug it
out. Slide in. You think he'll get in there?
Yeah, I think he's going to. I think he's just going to leave it all out there. You know, I think this is going to be it for him. I don't think he's got a. I don't think he can put up with a whole other season. You know, he's just too high up there.
For a guy like him to go out the way he's going out, it's brutal. It's brutal right now. With obviously him fighting for playing time. You know, father time. Obviously, he's always undefeated.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, with all this HGH, you know, stories going around, and now I heard that the allegations are getting stronger. That Al Jazeera report, which is crazy. But I mean, that interview I saw him on TV. That's the most pissed I've ever seen him in my life. I mean, he's going through a rough time, obviously. But I'm pulling for him.
Yeah, Al Jazeera, the one to go to for sports news. You know, they got all the facts for you. Yep. I couldn't believe that. You know what? He's fucking Peyton Manning. Okay, it's not like he's going out there, and even if he is using HGH, it's not like he's going out there and ripping guys' heads off because of it. He's just throwing a fucking football, and he's trying to not have his neck get broken again when he gets clipped from behind. And he doesn't see it coming at 39 years old. You know, this is going to be it for him for sure. I think all this stuff is just adding up. There's no way it's not, and I think everybody's going to know that, and I think they're all going to make a push because of that. You know, I mean, he's only got one Super Bowl in his life, which, I mean, hey, a lot of guys, Dan Marino didn't even get one, but at the same time, if you want to be that top five quarterback where a lot of people I think want to put him, you gotta come with a little bit more than that. Yeah. You gotta come with a little bit more jewelry than that. You know, I'm sorry, it's just the way it is.
So we said rematch Seattle Denver.
I just feel like it. Yeah,
we got Seattle and Pittsburgh over here.
Seattle Pittsburgh. That's what I want.
Oh,
I want to shove it down. Roethlisberger's throat.
What do you think, Tony?
God, man, it's tough. I mean, I'm a big Madden fan. Madden 16 this year. They predicted the NFC Championship game last year or they predicted us playing Panthers. But this year's intro to that game, they had Cardinals and Steelers. And as much, I'm not. That's not my pick. It's one I lean toward, but it's how can I not pick the Seahawks?
The I'm sorry. The possibility of so much Super Bowl matchups. It's nuts.
That's true. It's nuts. There's a lot of rematches. Yeah, a lot of games that have already happened. That is true.
It's the possibility of so many Patriots against the Hawks, Cardinals against the Steelers.
And that was
Steelers against the Packers, possibly. It's just fucking nuts.
Yeah, and you brought up Steelers Cardinals, and I got to say, I mean, I'm a Steelers fan, like I said.
Yeah.
That was a great Super Bowl.
Seeing
Harrison make that play and taking all, I mean, that was fucking incredible. I was on my feet jumping with my hand. So I'm like, oh my God. I mean, what a fucking play for a guy who you don't think is supposed to be the best athlete on the field. You know, you look at a linebacker and they're a big motherfucker, they're strong as fuck, and they'll, you know, a lot of them are super fast, but you don't think of them to make a super athletic play like that. Yep. And that, I mean, again, it just all leads back to why this season is just, the buzz is just incredible.
It's insane. And just like I said, the fact that these games have just gone either way, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm in my own little pick 'em league, and I just got destroyed this year because the games have been so unpredictable, you know, for what they've been these past few years.
Yeah.
But it's just, like I said, it's just crazy to see that parody, you know, get played in. But I think it was 4 weeks ago that they said for the first time in like 40 years or something like that, that I think it was I think it was 10 out of 14 games the underdog won, you know, in one weekend. You know, just like I said, I just can't imagine the money Vegas has been losing. I don't want to say losing or making this year just off the sports bet. And I think they'd be losing some money this year just off the way some of these games have gone, you know. But it's, like I said, you never know, especially now with playoffs, man. There, a lot of these games are coin flips. A lot of these games are coin flips.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why, again, there's not that one clear-cut team that – you know, you're saying is going to make it happen. But again, even the wild card teams, they are a serious threat.
But the only thing that makes me nervous for Sunday are our matchup against his Vikings. Because that's the thing. You think talent, you know, most of the time is going to beat out talent there. I know with the odds makers, you know, they always give 2 points for the home team, you know, getting the home, you know, home field advantage. But the only thing that makes me nervous when you talk about weather and talking about an element that's, you know, out of players' control. And, you know, so obviously we're talking -6 on Sunday. That's going to definitely change things, and that's that added element, once again, throw it into the mix of who the hell knows what the hell is going to happen this week. And I can promise you one thing and guarantee that it's not going to be the same with 33-7.
No, that first game
will not be that. And AP, I guarantee you, will have more than 8 yards this time around.
Is he going to be healthy, though? He left the last game.
I believe, he's good to go. I think it was just back spasms for him game there. Okay. Yeah, so really cautionary. The question will Teddy Bridgewater be ready to go?
And, yeah.
You know?
That is a little troubling, that the fact that we smashed them the last time we played there, because you got.
I don't like that. I don't like playing.
You got to worry about people coming in, lollygagging and hot dogging. You know,
why these divisional games are always so. You know, always feel like you're always splitting them, because I mean it is so damn hard to win in the NFL, but it is even harder to beat the same team twice in a season. Even the thought of a third time, if the Hawks end up making it, you know, if they go all the way, they could face Arizona in the NFC Championship. Fucking, you talking about a divisional matchup not only twice but 3 times a year round, and obviously they whooped us here at home, we whooped them at home. Sets up perfectly for an NFC title.
Well, game. Now hold on there. They didn't fucking whip us, all right?
They didn't. They whooped us that day.
We fucking smashed those fools. Yeah, I know. It was demoralizing the way we lost. But we were right in that game at the end, though. But
and I got to say, can I say one thing? Yeah. I got to say, to the bandwagon fans, I know a lot of them, and a lot of them jumped ship after that Arizona loss. And I don't blame them. I mean, you're sitting at, 2-4 at that point. You know, things were not looking good, but the folks that hung on and are on the ride now that never left, kudos to you. It's just something about those, we call them 12s since 2012. That's what we like to call them. 12 since 12.
Damn bandwagon fans.
Damn bandwagon fans.
Yeah.
We talked about it on the show.
I can't stand them either.
Stick with your team.
Even though I completely sold out. When I moved up here,
it's all right. No, we're all guilty of it a little bit. Something a little more, you know, satisfying when you get to these, you know, parts of the season where, you know, especially those, you know, guys have been riding with this team their whole lives.
Yeah, no doubt. And it does happen. You know, everybody kind of gets a little down, and you kind of you lose faith. And again, yeah, there was a couple moments this season where it looked like fuck, and we were losing these heartbreaking games. You know, it was coming down to the wire every time. But yeah, it's a long season, and again, as long as you can have some kind of winning record and maintain some kind of good play, I mean, you always have a shot at it. So. But, you know, we've been holding out. We already got into it, but let's just fucking... let's just dive deep into it here, all right? Let's get all about the Hawks here for the local people here.
Yeah!
Let's break this one down inside and out here. So let's talk about health first here. How do you guys think we're looking? I mean, I've been looking at IR the last few days, and... Obviously, Jimmy Graham, he's out. Rawls, he's done too, right? So, obviously, those two are out. Everywhere else, it seems like we're looking okay. You know, my fingers are crossed right now, but it seems like we're doing okay. It seems like the people who are a little banged up, it seems like they're going to be okay. They're going to be ready to go. You know, I mean, some people got some rest last week, which was good. And, knock on wood, but... It seems like we're looking okay in that regard.
Yeah. No, I think so. I know Cam was out last couple weeks with a bruised tailbone, and I think he's back in practice this week. Michael Bennett, I know he had a foot injection, you know, so a couple minor things. But once again, it comes back to beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. I mean, it hasn't really hit me, the fact that the guy's back. You know, he's been out for 6 weeks, not even in Seattle, like we talked about, down in San Fran. He's back. I believe I heard this is his first major injury of his career. So I heard that teacher down, his MMA, you know, coach down there in San Fran. I guess the biggest thing he had to work on was the mental side of coming back and being tough and coming back from this injury. So obviously it depends on how, you know, our line looked great 6 out of the last 7 weeks. Yeah. You know, Tom Cable, great job there. But it's going to be real interesting to see, because I think what you got to do with Marshawn is obviously this offense has been humming without him these last 6 weeks.
And that's what I was going to get to. I mean, do you worry that were you going to lose a little synergy here bringing him back? I mean, the offense has been killing it. You know, you want to make sure this thing keeps going exactly how it's been going. I mean, they've been fucking killing it.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell's just going off. They're doing everything right. They're not turning the ball over. I mean, you want to say, obviously, having Marshawn in the backfield is going to be better. And you know what? I think as long as they use him strategically, which I think they will, you know, they're kind of doing the back by committee at this point, I think it'll definitely be a good addition for us.
Well, I think, and it kind of goes back to your Denver Broncos talk. I mean, I think most people on this team, I would assume, know that this is probably Marshawn's last ride with the Hawks.
Yeah.
You know, for him to come back, the only reason he came back was for this playoff run. And the fact, like I said, I think any other player in this league mostly, you know, like you said, probably messes up that synergy a little bit when you're humming for 6-7 straight weeks. But I think with Marshawn, I mean, he is such the heart and soul of this team and has been.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much Cam Chancellor, when he came back from his holdout, said that hey, me and Marshawn had a pact, you know, before, you know, once we started this thing to finish this thing together here. And I'm back. That, you know, he pretty much said, I came back to finish this as Marshawn's last ride, and I want to, you know, have him go out on top.
Yeah.
Especially going out from the way we went out a year ago, which some still say is the worst way, worst loss your team could ever personally take ever in the history of sports on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. I've blocked that out of my mind. You know, I've tried to mentally block that out of my mind. I still wake up middle of the night, you know, sometimes every once in a while.
Cold sweats.
Flashback, yeah. I think he's in a slide right in. You know, obviously I don't expect him to get 25, 30 carries in this game. But, you know, once again, I think another kudos to Daryl Bevel, who people wanted to hang him from the
mountaintops. Daryl Bevel. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about Daryl Bevel. This is before I met you, Slim. And I don't know if you remember, after the Week 2 game against the Packers, the number one hashtag in the Pacific Northwest was hashtag Fire Bevel.
Yep. Fire Bevel. Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't imagine being him this offseason and going through. I mean, obviously players dealt with their own issues, but it took. I heard Pete was on 710 on Brock and Salk on Friday or on Monday. And he was kind of talking about the evolution of how it took some of these, you know, got the players a little longer than the coaches to get over what the hell happened last year. I mean, to end the season like that And to think that they can come back and make another Super Bowl run, I mean, that just shows you the fortitude that this team's made of. Shows you Pete Carroll's philosophy. I mean, we are blessed to have that guy who, you know, somehow has turned this into somewhat of a dynasty, you know, to this point.
Well, and and you were talking about Marshawn Lynch coming back, and I completely agree with everything you're saying. You know, he's a staple of this offense. He's been our fucking workhorse, obviously. Mm-hmm. Guy takes a goddamn beating every time he goes out there on the field, and he just fucking keeps banging away and doesn't complain. He keeps showing up. And why I feel it's important is I feel like, you know, and I don't want to dwell on the past, you know, whatever. Yeah, it was a heartbreaking loss, obviously, to be right there and to have it ripped away. You know, it was obviously heartbreaking. But I just feel like because he's that centerpiece of our offense, I feel like he deserved the ball there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what got me about that call, about that situation.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like whether or not everybody in the stadium knew you were going to hand him the ball, it doesn't matter. He deserved it. And because he proved himself as not being stoppable when you need 1 yard to pick up.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, there's people, too, that say Russell, you know, Russell hits that pass. He hits, you know, Lockett there, touchdown. Some people would have called that the best play call. You know?
Yeah.
You know, that people didn't see it coming. So it just, it is what it is. It worked out how it worked out. But just to see this team, like I said, the slow start this season didn't surprise me. Obviously, you could tell that things were still lingering, and Cam holding out. I still think that was that mixed with how the year ended last year was the reason the season started out the way it did. But for them to come back to be in this position right now is, like I said, just shows you what's going on behind the doors at VMAC over there.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit. And yeah, all season they just kept fighting. You know, it got ugly. Like you said, it was 2-4 at one point. At one point, it was 4-5. You know, still looking questionable. Mm-hmm. And they keep coming out and they keep playing, and here we are, we're in the playoffs, and not only we're in the playoffs, but surprisingly, we're getting some respect and some credit as a wild card team. You know, as a wild card team, we're getting that, and that's what I love about how this season is set up, is that this is a chance for our team to prove to everybody that we can go out and win on the road and still be a dominant championship team and beat people. We don't have to be at home. And like I said earlier, this was a better year, I feel like, for us on the road than it was at home. I mean, I think the record was about the same, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it just felt like a lot better year on the road. And I want to go to Carolina. I want to go to Carolina, and I want fucking Cam Newton to want to rip his shirt open and do all that shit, but he can't because he's getting fucking sacked by Michael Bennett. All right, I want to see this stuff happen. And
speaking of Cam Newton, sorry to go off topic for one quick second. Did you hear what the hell he just named his kid? By the way,
oh boy,
no, what
he's named his kid Chosen. First name Chosen.
Get the fuck out of here.
No fucking joke.
What is he?
Chosen.
Chosen Newton is his. I don't know what the middle name is going to be, but yeah, he named his
kid. Oh my god,
that Chosen. That's as ridiculous as Northwest.
Yeah, that's worse than North, and then Saint. Yeah, you got Saint West and Northwest, and now you got Chosen Newton. So
Jesus, Chosen Newton.
I used to hate Cam Newton. He's growing on me. Like I like him giving the balls to the kids in the end zone. Mm-hmm. He's dabbing. He likes to have fun. I get that. But yeah, I heard him when he dropped in a notch back. I'm
like, Chosen. Not even a kid. Oh, Chosen.
I mean, that kid is in for it. He better be damn good.
That's worse than Seven Costanza.
Sorry to jump track. Heard Cam Newton. I hear that.
Now I want us to beat him more. Now I want us to beat him a little bit more. Right? Now you told me that.
Yeah.
Jesus, but okay, so let's get into that now, too, since we're already talking about it, though. So, you know, not that it really matters, but it's kind of fun to play around with. Who do we want to play? I mean, again, I told you earlier, I don't
care. In the Super Bowl?
I don't care. Well, we'll get to that point, but let's go NFC first. But again, I don't care. There's nobody that's really scaring me at this point. I'm terrified of. But who, if we had our choice, do we want to play at this point? We obviously got Minnesota coming up this week, and then what are we looking at next week? What do you guys think?
Well, if there was a choice, I would rather play the 49ers, but they're not in the playoffs. But
oh my god, I was looking at the schedule this year, and I think the two games they played us, I think they scored 9 points the two games that they played us. I mean, we just fucking stomped those fools.
Gosh, Berg, you know, I'm gonna go with it's for me. It's tough. I'm not scared of either. I'm not scared at all either the Panthers or the Cardinals. But if I had to choose one right now, gun to the head, I would rather choose the Cardinals. And here's why: Carolina. I know. Hey, we we played there. We've been down, and we played in Carolina the last 3 years. And every single game we've been down there has been like a 1-2 point game. I mean, it's ridiculously close. It's tight. It'll be tough. They're a little better this year. Their defense looks good. Cam, I still can't believe they don't even have Kelvin Benjamin, and they're still doing what they're doing. But with Arizona, I wouldn't have said this if we didn't look as good as we did against Arizona last Sunday. But here's why I'm saying it. We've got, I believe we are 5-0 or 4-0 the last 4 or 5 times we've been played in Arizona against the Cardinals.
Really?
So I know I heard that game for them last Sunday was a big, you know, big wanting to, for them to get that win over us to kind of get some confidence because they know they got a chance of seeing us again here in a few weeks for the NFC Championship game. It does scare me. I talked about playing a team 3 times in 1 year. But for me, I think the big – I mean, obviously last year they lost, you know, Carson Palmer. He goes down. Their hopes went out the door.
Yeah.
This year – them losing the Honey Badger and Tyrann Mathieu guy is a freaking stud. Yeah, I mean, he's almost as good as Earl Thomas out there at safety. He's a game changer, and the fact that they lost him a few weeks ago is going to hurt their defense. And I think that loss alone, compared to just the way we match up with them, our defense is humming. I'd rather play Arizona, to tell you the truth. Not scared to go there, face them 3 times, but that's just me.
It was definitely nice to get that final win of the season and just in such a convincing fashion. Man. I mean, they look so good. They just look so good. When the offense and the defense are getting together, we're just unstoppable, you know? I mean, when was the last time you can remember the Seahawks getting their asses handed to them? Does anybody remember when that ever happened?
First 3 quarters of the NFC Championship game last year, but
okay, yeah, that's
against the Packers.
We got the Packers were that was our worst loss this year, and we lost to them by 10 points. That was the only game that we've lost by 10 points in the last 3 seasons.
That's so remarkable to me. I mean that stat alone. I mean the fact that we're in pretty much every freaking game that we've played,
every single one,
and even this year, every loss that we've had, we probably could have won.
Yeah,
I mean that's the crazy part. You're not getting blown the hell out like certain teams where it is over and people are heading home.
No,
you know, second, third quarter.
No, yeah, I was looking at the stats. 9 games this season, our opponents have scored 13 or less. 9 games this season, and 5 of those. They scored less than 7.
You over here, stat boy over here.
Oh, dude, I told you.
I love it.
I told you, we're getting in deep over here, man.
Stat boy over here.
I went big on it. I went,
damn.
Unfortunately, we're not big enough to have a statistician here yet, so I got to do some...
Soon.
So I got to do some Google searching on my own, but...
Oh, I got a guy in Bristol.
You got a guy.
I got a guy in Bristol. I got him on speed dial.
A weed guy or what?
Well,
no, but that is what is making me so confident, and then what I'm so excited about is the fact that, like you said, we're in every game. Basically, I mean, that Green Bay game, we went into the fourth quarter with the lead. We had the lead going into the fourth quarter in that game. So we were definitely in that game. And when everybody's playing and doing their job and we're on point, we're smashing people. Nobody stands a chance.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I mean, it's just I'm brimming with excitement and I can't believe it. And it's going to be an awesome playoff season.
Well, you got to be excited too. I mean, we talking back to the start of the podcast, and we were talking about how important these quarterbacks are going to be for any of these playoff runs for any of these teams. But I'm geeked up out of my mind right now to see just going into this to see what Russell's doing. He's playing out of his freaking mind. And I don't know if it's a coincidence or not. I know he was getting a lot of flack earlier in the year with all the Sierra stuff. You know, I noticed, but I noticed on Twitter, and I believe it started when we played the Steelers week, and it's been going ever since. He was all about, you know, last year, no time to sleep, first one, you know, all that stuff on Twitter. And this first half of the year, he hadn't been putting much of that out. And then some people were whispering, oh, he's just turning into a celebrity quarterback. It's, you know, he's looking for, you know, down the road, he's not who he was anymore. I think it got to him at some point. He had the bad game against Arizona at home. Flips the script. Next morning, 4:30 in the morning, he's putting no time to sleep up there. And he's back to his old Russell self, but he's also maturing at the same time and growing. And the fact what he's doing with Doug Baldwin right now is absolutely insane.
Baldwin is a
man. Like, pay that man if you're going to talk about paying people. But it's fun to watch. And he is just in the zone right now. And
he didn't make the Pro Bowl, did he?
No, he did. Doug made it as an alternate.
Oh, that is bullshit.
Which is bullshit. And that's going bullshit. Back to the Pro Bowl. Marshawn makes the Pro Bowl this year. He's only played 4 games.
Yeah.
And that shows you where the voting's at. I know it's fan voting. Or I don't even know. Is it fan voting now, or did they go back to?
No, it's fan voting.
It's fan, yeah.
It's got to be fan voting. It's terrible. Fan voting because it's no longer the AFC versus the NFC. It's like Team Urban versus Team Sam.
They don't even do the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl's
It's like it's one big fucking fantasy football game. That's exactly what it is.
That's true.
Like that you get two. They get two NFL Hall of Famers to be the coaches, and they pick their teams. It can be a mix of NFC and AFC players on one team. It's just one big ass fantasy football game.
And I remember last year, the best part of last year, I didn't watch a game. I watched them when they made their picks last year when they were doing the draft. And the best is that was like 2 days after, you know, our NFC Championship game. And so when they had, I think Clay Matthews, a couple other guys that were on the Packers on, they looked like they were the most miserable people on the face of the earth. They're like, fuck, I got to be here for this instead of going, you know, going to a trip to the Super Bowl. So yeah, imagine doing that right after a playoff loss like that. But yeah, Pro Bowl, Schmalt Bowl, who the hell cares?
Yeah, it'll probably be sponsored by DraftKings this year, the Pro Bowl. Yeah. Brought to you by DraftKings.
Yeah,
pick your players. Different teams every week. God damn. Well, shit. You guys got anything else for us? I mean, so we got the
prediction. You want prediction on? We're going.
You want the predictions on the four games?
Okay. Keep going. Yeah.
You go.
Okay. I got Skins over Packers 27-30. I got the Hawks over the Vikings 30-14. I got the Chiefs over the Texans 20-17. Both have amazing defenses, so I don't think it'll go over 20 points. And I got the Steelers over the Bengals 24-10.
I like. All right. We're giving scores as well. All right, I'm going to go. We'll start AFC for me. I'm going to go Chiefs over Texans. I'm going to go 17-14 on that game. I'm going to go Pittsburgh with the win over those Bengals, and I'm going to go final score there. I'm going to go 28-20. Moving to the NFC. I told you guys I barely like Green Bay, so I'm going to stick with them. I'm going to say Green Bay pulls the upset. Pulls the upset and wins. I'm going to go 16-15 in an orthodox score. An orthodox score in that one. Don't ask why. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. And then our Hawk game, I'm picking the Hawks in this one. Not nearly as high scoring as that last one with this. Who knows with this weather. But yeah. I got Hawks winning 21-10.
21-10. So it'll still be impressive. You know, you're talking weather, and yeah, it's a big factor. You know, when it's that cold, -6 degrees, your hands don't work like they normally do. Mm-hmm. And I think running game is going to be very important because of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big reason why Marshawn is going to be good, you know, especially when he just gets in there and bangs at people. You know, you're fucking cold, you're achy. You know, it's going to work for us. So I'm not going to go score. I'll do the score for the Hawks. I'm going to say it's definitely going to be low scoring. You know, it's going to be a little low key. But I'm going to go 24-14. I won't go scores the other ones. I think I'm going to go with Shoddy over here with the Skins beating the Packers. I hope he's right. Cause I don't know why. I don't want us to have to play them potentially at any given point here. AFC. I like JJ Watt having a big game, the big surprise game. And I think they beat the Chiefs. You know, I think they stop their run and then they don't do anything else after that. They win one game and then they're out and that's it. But I like them there. And I got to go with the Steelers. I mean,
It's your team.
You know,
it's your team, man.
I think that's going to be one of the better games to watch because, again, I love those division games. Mm-hmm. I feel like those guys all just fucking hate each other. Those cities are close. You know, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, they're not that far away. Baltimore is just a jump away, too. Cleveland's in there, too. Not that they ever fucking matter, but Johnny Manziel dressing up.
You mean Billy Football?
In a fucking wig. Going to Vegas to party. God, is that guy... does he fucking hate his job in Cleveland or what?
He wants to be playing in Jared Dome next year in Dallas, and I think
I don't know where the fuck he got this attitude from. He's from a small town in South Central Texas. I don't know where the fuck he got this attitude from. And he went to college in College Station in East Texas at A&M. I don't know. You know, coming from someone who's lived in Texas for 18 years, I don't know if when he got drafted to Cleveland and he just lost his fucking mind.
Guy's just trying to slang some D, man. You know, he's trying to get it while the getting's good.
Oh, no.
God, he just can't help himself.
The best I remember working with Brock Huard, Brock called one of his games last year at Texas A&M, and I remember asking Brock just on the side. I was like, Brock, be real. Give it to me straight. I'm outside the radio spectrum. What, tell me about Johnny Football. Is he the real deal? What's going on? And Brock just, goody two-shoes Brock, and he's shaking his head. He's like, Tony, all I can say is this. That guy has more demons than anybody I've ever met in my life. I was like, demons, and obviously it's coming out, man. Yeah, some people like that limelight. But for him to be in Vegas with a blonde wig, mustache, glasses, and a hood, telling everyone his name's Billy, that killed me. Billy Football, man. And then Billy, he comped everything. Names. Yeah, he was in Vegas. They put him in like a VIP area in like a dark corner. And, I mean, he was out till 3 a.m. partying with his boys. And then he comped it. Apparently he just comped it. And said, hell, and then and eventually later paid with his card. But yeah, guy likes to have a good time.
You know, he almost pulled it off. But the problem is when you got that many hot white bitches that you're partying with, you know, those skanks going to want some Instagram pictures. You know, they're going to want some Instagram photos. All right. And they're going to go up and you're not going to, it's going to be only under wrap for a certain amount of time.
Absolutely.
Those skanks are all over the selfies, man. Oh my God, Johnny, let me get a pic. Oh my God, I get so many followers. It's like, you know, it's never going to happen, man. You get all those bitches and you tell them, all right, we'll party. Tab's on me, okay? I'm buying all the bottles. We're fucking going nuts tonight. But you're taking your phone, you're throwing it in this bag, and we're not touching these goddamn things until we wake up.
That's what his entourage is for, man. His entourage should be looking out for that stuff, right?
Exactly. You say, you're not fucking touching, you're not getting this back until 8 o'clock in the morning, all right? And Johnny's long gone right now because he's still fucking high on coke, all right? Yeah. After banging all you skanks all night long. But fucking it,
Billy Football.
That was a fun story. But we'll end it on that one. Tony, before we close, we didn't get a. What do you think? What are you looking at Super Bowl here? Let's get this on record so that we can look back say, "Hey, wow, you nailed it!" Or I could say, "God, why the fuck did we even have you on here? Oh, you didn't even know what you were talking about."
All right. I'm gonna say it. You guys can look at me. Remember, I started off the gate and said it's not gonna be the Patriots. It's not gonna be the Steelers representing the AFC. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying not to be a homer this whole freaking podcast, but you guys got me all amped up. Seahawks. I'm going Seahawks. I'm going to say they're going to make the run for Marshawn. They're going to do it. But the AFC, I'm going to say it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
What?
Yes.
You think it's going to be the wild card Super Bowl?
I said it. They're trying to copy what the Seahawks are doing with that disgusting, nasty defense. Scoring just enough points. I know. I see your face, and I'm just gonna say it right now. It's been a weird ass NFL season, and I think the trend continues in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Only thing they got going for him is Alex Smith has been to the NFC Championship before, so he knows how it feels to almost get there. And Andy Reid.
That's what I'm gonna say.
Andy Reid's got that but he's got that playoff experience.
He does.
The Walrus.
But just nobody's talking about the Chiefs at all. And like I said, the fact that they're doing it with defense, they're trying to do the same mold the Hawks have been doing these last few years. I know the sexy picks are going to be your Steelers, Patriots, and I'm probably wrong. But just the way my gut feeling NFL season's going, I got it. Which, like you said at the beginning, might not be the sexiest Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of good combinations, and Chiefs Seahawks might not be the most, best looking one.
I think the least sexiest one will be the Chiefs Redskins.
Chiefs Redskins.
The Chiefs. Roger Goodell will jump off a cliff.
We're not going there. Jesus.
I don't even know if I'd watch that fucking thing.
Chiefs Redskins Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Wow, I like that, though. I'd like to see an all wild card Super Bowl. That would be very interesting. I don't think it's ever happened. So, hey. We're fucking due. It's Super Bowl 50 here.
It's been a crazy year, Berg, man. And I'm telling you, I think it's going to continue.
It definitely has. And it's going to be a very exciting playoff season here. I can't wait. It's going to be a big weekend, no doubt. But, we're going to wrap it up here, guys. I think we got everything we need to get here for you. But Thank you guys for listening to us. Tony, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate you coming
by,
man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Coming by to the studio. Fun.
Yeah, this has been fun, man. We'll do it again.
Top of the line studio, top of the line guys.
Hey, all state of the art, man. All state of the art here, all right? You've never seen anytime. Luxury like this.
Anytime you guys want me back.
They don't have this up in ESPN radio.
No, this is way better they don't than have this shit. The 710 studios. Are you kidding me?
Hey, you can't be pouring a drink and smoking a bowl in that studio there, even though your man, I won't say him by name, but even though I know he wants to.
Oh my goodness! No, fucking I appreciate you guys having me, man. This has been a fun NFL
man.
Year.
More than welcome to come back anytime. I'm invited.
This is fun. This is too easy.
We'll definitely get it going again. We'll definitely get it going. But hey, good playoff season here. Thank you guys for listening to us. This is an Earful in the Emerald City. We appreciate you guys. And for Tony Gardner, for my man Shoddy, and for everybody listening, thank you guys. Good playoffs, and we are out.
See ya.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.